gadgets.
Yeah, sure. Just a few more.
Good to see you here tonight. Happy that you're here. I'm not sure if we have any visitors with us or not. If we do, we're grateful you're here. And we invite you to come back and be with us and study a portion of God's Word. Give us an opportunity to get to know you better as you visit with us. So we have been studying the eternal kingdom. We've been looking at the history of the Lord's church, and in particular, this book that I hold in my hand, The Eternal Kingdom, by Brother Maddox and McRae. Tonight we're going to be looking at persecution in the Lord's church. We just finished up extensively looking at the apologist, and I think as we launch into this study on the persecution in the Lord's church, we'll understand why men were writing the things that they were, not only proclaiming their faith, but defending the faith, defending the Christian movement as it existed at that time. You have your books. Let's go ahead and open our books tonight. And let's begin reading on page 84. And we're going to go ahead and read this entire section here until we get to the chronology of persecution. So I'll need some volunteers. And as you can tell, I'm struggling again with my voice. I don't have a cold. It's just been this upper respiratory mystery that I have had since last October. And you know, there's just certain days you just think, is this the day? It's finally going to take you. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, or you're finally going to get better. But anyway, so I'll do the best I can to get through this myself. So let's look at this. Let's look, who wants to do the first three paragraphs? Will you go ahead and read that for us, Amanda?
Had been especially true in regard to the relationship of the Romans with the Jews. At first, Judaism in Palestine was unmolested by the Roman conquerors, but the Jewish leaders were not content to remain under Roman rule. A strong nationalism had been part of Jewish life, and this burning desire for independence resulted in intermittent rebellion against Rome. Christianity had its background in the law and the prophets. Jesus was a Jew. The gospel was the first preached among the Jews, and the synagogues were first used as palaces. It is to be expected that under these circumstances, the Christians would share the suspicion and contempt held by the Romans for the Jews. The Christians, however, worked to free themselves from association with Jewish activities. They took no part in independent movements, and when the Roman army marched against Jerusalem in AD 70, they had deserted the city. They did not want to be found opposing the Roman government. In spite of this, throughout the 2nd century, the Christians shared a general dislike the Romans held for the Jews.
Thank you. So someone else read the next three paragraphs for me. Who's got the next three paragraphs? Austin.
The Christians, however, worked to free themselves from association with Jewish activities. They took no part in the independence movements, and when the Roman army marched against Jerusalem in AD 70, they had deserted the city. They did not want to be found opposing the Roman government. In spite of this, throughout the 2nd century, the Christians shared the general dislike the Romans held towards the Jews. The teaching that Christ is King of Kings and that Christians share in his kingdom and are sealed as members of a new covenant all seemed to the Romans to be leading to rebellion. The very existence of the Christians was considered a threat to the peace and security of state, and accordingly it was felt that they should be eliminated. From the beginning, Christianity had no legal status. It was an illegal religion, and until it could be licensed by the Senate, it was destined to exist as best it could. During time times of opposition, the meetings had to be conducted in secret, and under such conditions, it was natural for all kinds of suspicions to develop.
Read the next one for me as well.
Christians began to be accused of most absurd crimes. These accusations included incest, cannibalism, the drinking of blood, infanticide, and plotting to overthrow the government.
Okay, be thinking about those, okay, as we read this. About, okay, how did you come up with that? But anyway, all right, someone else take the next three paragraphs for me, where it says there were two chief reasons why. Go ahead, Dan, and then Ron, I'll let you take the next series. Thank you. Go ahead, Dan.
There were two chief reasons why these accusations were made. One is the development of an extreme Gnosticism, and the other, the existence of illegal pagan societies that actually practiced in secret the things Christians were accused of. These were the Roman Druids and the Barcanthropes. The Druids carried on human sacrifices in their rites and practiced magic. The Bucchants considered nothing to be immortal or immoral. They held secret meetings at night. They bound themselves to practice all kinds of crime. If we can believe the description, they committed murder, forged wills, and took oaths to oppose law and order. Under influence of drink, they practiced cannibalism and engaged in all kinds of immoral conduct. Although these groups were outlawed, they persisted to such a degree as to cast suspicion upon all secret meetings. The reproach brought upon the church where the Gnostic influence was based upon the conduct of extremes. Gnosticism developed two extremes. One was asceticism and the other debauchery. Both extremes grew out of a false notion of the material world. It was believed that matter itself was evil. This included the human body. One group developed the idea of the material body should be overcome by depriving it of its desires. This resulted in
asceticism.
Mm-hmm. The other extreme group believed that the body should be destroyed by indulging its desires until they were all satisfied. They believed the body would thus burn itself out, and when it ceased to desire, the soul could overcome its hindrance. This theory was actually practiced, and no doubt the stories that Christians were people of lust and incest resulted from these sources. The apologists explained that they could not justify such conduct and that this type of life did not represent the true Christian. They also explained that the Christian was a good citizen regardless of explanation. However, the average Roman believed that immortality and conspiracy was a necessary part of a foreign religion.
Okay, and the last two paragraphs, Ron, if you'll go ahead and take that.
The Christians could not take part in the worship of public gods, and for this reason they were called atheists, godless, and disloyal. Since the Christians could not take part in the idolatry of public worship, when all the citizens were called upon to sacrifice, they were made conspicuous to their neighbors by their absence, and this aggravated the rumors about them. Christ had been crucified during the reign of Tiberius in AD 33. During the following 7 years of his reign, the church began its rapid spread over the empire. This spread was accelerated by the jealousy of the Jews and their persecution, which began with the martyrdom of Stephen and the scattering of the church. Christians, however, were not officially persecuted by the Romans at this time.
So I want you to think about the church in the unique position that it was in. So the Roman government at first is looking at Christianity as just a form of Judaism. And we're not necessarily going to run them underground. That didn't happen until later. There was a a direct attempt to persecute the church. But so you, on one hand, you have the Romans eventually persecuting the church, but always being persecuted by the Jews, always. So they were in a very volatile place. And as we read this, it says foreign religions were looked on by the Roman authorities with suspicion. Okay, we studied Rome and the melting pot that it was, and how it brought with it many people from many different nations and backgrounds, and with that came various diverse belief systems. It says, the question is, what did the Jews do to arouse that suspicion, and how does this jive with what we see? And let's turn over to Acts chapter 5. I want to read that. Acts chapter 5. Let's read that now. Acts chapter 5. Someone take Acts 5 verses 33 through 39. The apostles have been arrested. Deliberation. The high priest, his cabinet, are discussing what do we do with these apostles. And a man by Gamaliel speaks up. So who wants to read Acts chapter 5 and verses 33 through 39? Dawn, please.
Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 33. To put my glasses on. When they heard this story, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commended them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thudius rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God."
And you don't want to be fighting against God. God wins every time. So, with that being the case, and again, going back to the question, what did the Jews do to arouse that suspicion? And we compare that with what Don just read for us in Acts chapter 5. What was happening from time to time with the Jews? What were they doing?
Rebelling.
They were rebelling, okay? And they were creating a revolt from time to time, rebelling. They would gather various Jews, and they would try to overthrow the government, okay? So, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, it was even during Jesus' trial, it appears there was a little confusion by Pilate. He thought Jesus might have been related to some of these rebels that had arisen. But it didn't turn out that that's what it was.
Right.
But so this was the environment that he assumed he was dealing with as leader.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we were reading this, now I want you to go ahead, Imogene.
When did they start trying to do everything
instead of what they were supposed to do? Everything as in what? Define everything. What do you mean by everything? The Jews are doing everything.
Whatever.
Okay. Let me try to answer it with this. Earlier in our study, and what we're reading about mystery religions, earlier we read about cults, mystery religions. We read about the Jews, as Imogene is pointing out. Okay? One thing is for sure. With the Roman government being in power, and you can go back and I invite you to do this, research this. We've already read some of it. That with some of these, a lot of these mystery religions, they would always do what they could do to appease the government. So the government would look favorably upon them and they would not drive them underground. Okay? One group in particular that is mentioned are the Druids. Okay? Julius Caesar himself talks about the Druids, and you go back and you research history. The Druids were very, seemed to be looked upon in a favorable light by the Roman government. They were never taxed. They were exempt from taxes. They didn't have to sign up for the military. They showed a lot of favoritism towards this particular group. Others, they did not. Okay? But no matter what, when we're talking about the Roman government, Rome, government, and religion were one. Okay? They were one. And emperor worship was common in Rome. It was common. Now, here's what I think is fascinating. I'm going to hold your question right here when we're talking about the Jews. So on one hand, you've got rebel rousers. Don read a couple of them from Acts chapter 5 that would rise up. Now, let me ask you, with your knowledge, and you can even play the common sense card on this, how do you think the Jews felt about being subject to the Romans? Happy about it? No. Not happy at all. Okay? So, someone go to Luke chapter 22 and look at verses 1 and 2. Now, keep that in mind. You answer that for yourselves. Okay? And I agree with you. The Jews hated the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews. Okay? But keep in mind, please keep in mind the way people would play the hypocrite. They wouldn't really show their hand. They were doing everything they could to placate and appease the Roman government just to not be snuffed out and get whatever they could. Dan, were you going to read? Okay. Luke chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Go ahead, Dan.
Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people.
Okay, keep going.
Then entered Satan into Judas.
Wait a minute. I might have the wrong passage.
You said Luke 23.
Yeah, I did. Luke 23, 1 and 2. It does me good to come back to my notes and actually look at my notes. Dan, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
You read the right passage that I originally gave you. Now read Luke 23,
right,
verses 1 and 2. Thank you.
And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation."
Stop. We found, now who's the him?
Jesus.
All right. And who's accusing him?
The Jews.
And what did you just read? We found this man what?
Perverting
the nation that we hate, that we despise. How dare him do that? Do you see what they're doing? And I'm telling you, a lot of these people despise the Roman government. But, you know, they would do whatever they could, you know, to, we love the government. We love Rome, you know. Go ahead.
They're also lying because they turned around and told Pilate, said, he's refused, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar.
Right.
They just asked him.
Sure they did. They had a whole series of tests, didn't
he? What did he say?
Render unto what?
Under Caesar, what Caesar?
No, he didn't say that. He says, render unto me what is mine, and I will render mine what is me to mine. You know, that's not what he said, is it? And that's what the government does. Yeah, but no, he said, again, he says, yeah, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, right? And the things that belong to God, you give to God, right? Good point. I'm just trying to show you guys the inconsistency that existed in their day and age. The Jews hated the Romans. But boy, when it was a word that we've been using, expedient for them to play the "we're loyal to Rome" card to crucify Jesus. We're going to play that card, okay? But they weren't the only ones. And we see that with various different mystery religions doing the exact same thing. You know, and some of these mystery religions, they would have plays, okay? They would have productions. And they would always try to include Roman religion and gods in their plays to, if I were a Roman soldier or citizen, and I was attending, oh, this is pretty cool, you know? They like us. Are you kidding me? They want to slit your throat, okay? So keep that in mind, guys. That's the culture we're living in. So we've got, based up on Acts chapter 5, verses 33 through 39, you know, the Roman government is suspicious of a lot of these various movements, various nationalities that are here. What view did the Roman government have of Christians, and how did the Christians' beliefs impact the Romans' views? Okay, what view did they have of them again? At first, okay, they're part of the Jewish movement. Because Jesus would go to the synagogues, he would teach, okay? Now that would change as we march forward. We're going to begin to look at some emperors. I brought a book. You may have a copy of this. The New Testament Survey by Tenney. And it's well written. And it begins by, first of all, by talking about Roman emperors. It talks about Rome and Roman emperors. It's really a good read. But and I'll read just a little bit from it as we look at some of these emperors. But what, you know, so at first they believe that, okay, that, you know, they're part of the Jewish community, okay? But they still yet looked upon Christians
suspiciously.
Because, you know, they're still yet a part of that Jewish, they got Jewish pedigree here, you know, Jewish movement, Jewish tendencies, okay? So before we look at the other questions, any thoughts at this point or comments that you want to make or questions that you've got?
Imogene. When Caesar came into power, did he appoint himself or was
they were voted on? That's my understanding. They were voted on. They had a Senate. Okay, they had elections. Okay? He wasn't by birth, I dubbed the King of Rome. You know, go ahead, Ron, Don. I keep calling you Ron.
That was, yeah, Ron's back.
You've been
there.
Ron's back there.
the Senate elected the Caesar for a while, and then it became hereditary. But it was a little bit after the time we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, they did inherit the being Caesar. But that was not at the time we're talking about.
And it did. We'll see with as we're looking at some of these emperors, how marriages and families, you know, it's easy to connect the dot, okay? Especially when we get down to Nero, you know, and how you begin to, wait a minute, you know, he had his own mom murdered, but she married someone to get power so her son could gain power. It's messed up, folks. I mean, look, the Jerry Springer Show, that's right. It has been in production for a long time, okay? They just didn't have TV at that time. It was just in the real lifetime. So anyway, all right. Next question. Christianity was considered what?
Illegal.
It was considered illegal, and they were accused of hideous crimes. What were those crimes? We read them.
Incest.
Austin?
Cannibalism.
Ah, cannibalism, incest, what else?
Infanticide.
Killing,
okay.
Killing babies.
Yes, yeah. Anything else? Drinking?
Drinking blood.
Drinking blood. Now.
Having secret meetings.
They were drinking blood?
That's what they said, okay? They were not drinking blood. But I want to ask you, though, where would they ever come up with such a thing as that? Did Jesus ever say anything about partaking of his
blood
and the bread representing, you know, his body?
Yes.
Right? So that can be construed, right? You know, you can take anything out of context. Whenever Jesus was being accusations were they sought, you know, it's interesting what the scriptures say. They didn't seek witnesses. I got you. They didn't seek witnesses. They sought false witnesses. Go back and read the Gospels. They look for false witnesses, not witnesses, false witnesses. I'm here to tell you the truth. I don't care about the truth. I want someone to lie to me, and let's see if it'll stick. You know, but one of those things was, I heard him say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, what? I'll build it back up, okay? Oh, blasphemy. Well, what was he talking about? He's talking about himself, wasn't he? All right? You know, if you actually hung around the man and listened to him, you might know that, okay? Austin.
Well, it's understandable how they would be confused with that. Now, obviously, it was blown out of proportion, but even during Christ's time, there were disciples of his that had problems with his commandment to eat his flesh and drink his blood.
Yes.
We see an example of that.
Because they were trying to wrap their minds around this. What are you talking about?
Exactly. So being outside of the church and hearing that, it would be reasonable to expect that they were actually doing
now, that. And that's one angle. I agree with you. And that's exactly right. There were people then who, that was their takeaway. Mm-hmm. That's what the man's talking about. So, we just talked about mystery religions. Okay? The Druids. Okay? You talk about those who were followers of Bacchus. Okay? The god of wine and revelry. Now, not that those two would go hand in hand. I'm just joking. They do. You know, and you've got his minions. Now, if you go back and you study followers of Bacchus, you see some pretty interesting things going on. There were human sacrifices. There was drinking of blood. And if they're doing it, I bet these guys over here are doing it too.
They were drinking blood?
Yes. The not the Christians. Okay? The followers of Bacchus. Okay?
They were drinking their own blood?
Not their own blood. A blood from a sacrifice, I'm assuming, Imogene. Okay? And they had human sacrifices. Austin.
So, yeah, I mean, just to reiterate my point there, if you go to John 6, you can read where he talks about, hey, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Verse 53. Yeah, 53. I think that was right. Yep. Read it. Go ahead and read it.
So, verse 53 is, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you.
Sorry.
And then you jump down to 60, and he says, when many of the disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it?
That's
he
it.
Knowing, and he talks about it. And then after that, it said in 66, after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked.
And walked. Hey, the man, he's lost it.
So
you know?
If you have disciples that are following right. that are struggling with those sayings,
exactly.
Common Roman citizens.
Exactly. So you see what's going on, guys. I mean, you got Jesus. He's gone on record as saying something like that, what Austin just read for us. Then you've got other religious groups who are drinking blood, okay? And they're talking about sacrifices, okay? And they just, you know, the Roman government is just beginning to take the view that they're all one here, okay? That's the operative word that we used earlier was suspicious. They were very suspicious.
Secret meetings.
Yeah, why you gotta have a secret meeting for? You know, why you gotta do that for? So, go ahead.
Well, to answer Imogene's question, there is tribes today that actually drink animal blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if it's part of their religion, but they do that.
Yes. Okay, next question, guys. What were the two chief reasons accusations were made against Christians? And again, the two chief reasons, two groups that were mentioned in particular. Okay, Gnosticism. Okay, what is Gnosticism? We've discussed it.
Secret knowledge.
Secret knowledge. I got a secret, and only I know it. And when you're enlightened, and God chooses to enlighten you, you can know it too. But until that happens, you know, I'm somebody. You know, And I'm convinced today that with the charismatic movement today is that, because I've been challenged with this, because I came out of that, is the fact that, well, you know, just because you were in that movement, you weren't elevated. You didn't have the baptism, Scott, you didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you don't really understand certain passages with regards to the charismatic gifts that God has given people today. Now, isn't that a form of what we're talking about, Gnosticism? Is the fact that you haven't been enlightened. That is exactly what Gnosticism was. Is that you've got to have this special enlightenment before, you know, you can really be viewed as someone credible in this church. And it's like, Carl.
This is going to ask you the scripture I referenced a while ago. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I just wonder how they responded. I'm sure they're going to have a way to push that under the carpet and ignore it, but that's God gives us the instruction.
So what happens is, and you know this as well as I do, with your background, because you mentioned some of this tonight, if you listen carefully to Carl's wonderful lesson tonight, is that what happens is passages are taken out of context. They're taken out of context. And you have to go back and capture the context of what is being said to get the full meaning of that divine scripture. And when you take it out of context and you start to spin it, okay, then you can walk away with, hey, you know, you can believe that and you're good, you know. Austin.
This is not my thought. When I was taking a business trip from AFRL, I had an opportunity to sit next to a youth minister for, I believe it was the ministry at Oklahoma State University, and we got to talking about different religions. And when you talk about growing up in a charismatic church, one thing that I've heard those religions called from him was they're very convenient religions because it's very difficult to argue against them.
Ah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Right.
Play by their rules.
Right. Right. Yeah, the target's always moving.
Yeah.
You know, it's like playing ball out in the backyard. You know, why are these parameters for you? You know, they just get wider and wider. The goalpost just gets closer and closer and wider for you. But for me, you know, those lines just kind of shrink in, you know. And the goalpost is this skinny, right? And it changes, right? It's convenient. Very good. So we've already gone over this. What are the two chief reasons accusations were made against Christians? We talked about that. Explain who the Druids and the Bacchants were. We discussed that. What were the two extreme views that the Gnostics held to? What were the two extreme views, because we just read it, that those in Gnosticism held to?
Asceticism.
One was debauchery.
Okay, there's one. Hey, look, if it feels good, do it, because the flesh will eventually burn itself out. That's what he said, right? It'll burn itself out. And I think we have a phrase for it. Let him go sow his wild oaks. Let him sow his wild. And that actually exists in the Amish community. I'm just going to tell you. You know, that's encouraged. Okay, believe it or not. So, and the other is asceticism. You know, just being, you know, you just, you know, you deny the flesh. You just suppress it. You deny it. Okay, and we see how that's working out for the Roman Catholic Church. And that could be where some of these sexual sins are coming from. But, you know, again, so these are the two extremes. These are the two extremes, okay? What were the Christians called because they would not worship, this is interesting, false gods?
Atheists.
What irony, you know, is the fact that they were referred to as atheists. But if you're looking at it from the Roman perspective, you know, their gods are chief, their religion is chief, and if you're not with us, you're against us, you're an atheist, dog.
Well, and part of the problem also was since there were a lot of different gods, a lot of the philosophy of the Roman government was, go ahead and worship your own gods, but you also ought to be worshiping the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't understand why the Christians would not go along with that. We get some of that today. I've talked with some folks in denominations who say, well, you know, we believe that you guys are going to heaven. Why won't you give us the same courtesy?
Mm-hmm.
We're all going the same place. We're just on slightly different paths.
Uh-huh.
And so it just doesn't seem to match their way of thinking.
Right. And the Romans, they could have snuffed out all these religions. You know, they could have. But they allowed most of them to function. Again, Christianity was considered illegal. Okay, you had to actually, you know, have permission. I don't know if you got a religious license or what it was, but you know, they were dubbed as recognized and approved by the Roman government. And that's, they figured out with Christians that, oh, they're not a part of the Jews. You know, and it's always been a head scratcher for me that if Christians indeed, and I don't doubt that they were not, except those in Corinth, were behaving like Christians ought to behave, surely you can see how different they are from those who are in the Jewish community and the way they're behaving, okay? But they still yet lump them all in and they consider Christianity illegal. All right, any other questions or comments? Because we're getting ready to move on to this next section with regards to persecution. We got time to do that. We're going to read some paragraphs and ask some questions.
Scott.
Yes, Archie.
The Romans were smart enough to know that you could not suppress the people.
Yes.
All people have their own religion. And if you try to take the religion away from them, now you got a rebellion on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a rebellion from all the people in all the nations that they conquered.
Exactly. They were smart enough to know that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they understood diplomacy, given and taken. Okay? You had to have some, you had to have a little bit of give, you know, because,
even
you know,
in their country,
right?
If you try to take away their religion, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. You tell the Baptists they can't worship as Baptists, you tell the Church of Christ they can't worship Church of Christ, you tell the Catholic they can't
right.
worship. Right. All religion is illegal except the one I have designated.
Right.
And you've got total rebellion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good point. Right. Send your check in. Okay. All right. Chronology of persecution. Let's go ahead. Who wants to take the first two paragraphs for me? First two paragraphs. Austin, go ahead.
Under the reign of Gaius, commonly called Caligula, there was no official persecution, but groundwork was laid that later brought on persecution. Caligula's sister, Drusilla, died the year after he became emperor, and as he was fond of her, she was deified among the Roman gods as the universal goddess. Caligula next reasoned that if she was the universal goddess, he must himself be the universal god. Accordingly, he required all official oaths to be taken in his name, and he be considered a deity. The Jews, of course, could not accept such claims to deity and refused to worship him. In retaliation, the Romans set up images of him in Jewish synagogues and erected a large image of him in Jerusalem that was to be moved up into the temple. This was delayed due to strong Jewish opposition, and at Caligula's murder in 41 AD, the attempt was abandoned. During the reign of Caligula, however, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied.
Go ahead, stop there, Austin. Thank you. That's good. That's good. So here we're looking at one of our emperors, okay, Caligula. He deified himself and his sister, Drusilla, okay? What evidence do we have of such thing based upon what we just read here? You know, how do we know this to be true based upon what we just read, these few paragraphs that we just read? Okay. Well, first of all, it says so. Okay. But what was going on? What was going on? He didn't just say, okay, I'm a god and she's a goddess. What did they do? How did they put a little bit of action behind the statement? What was going on? What did they do?
They were putting up statues.
Oh, there you go. All right, images, right. Where, Dan?
Oh, in the synagogue.
Oh, man, not just out on the street somewhere? Okay. There you go, right in. And then, yeah, we're going to double down on Dom, okay? And he was going to take it all the way to the temple before he was murdered, okay? That's interesting. And I tell you, it's a bad time to be an emperor. So, don't drink that! Never mind. So, yeah, you know, he deified himself. He was very close to his sister. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just saying, go to the internet and check that one out, you know, about how strange that was. So, you know, there's the whole lot of Jerry Springer stuff going on here.
Scott,
yes.
He also tried to have his horse worship.
He did. He had some mental issues. He had some issues. So Caligula, his behavior under him, in spite of that, you know, Maddox tells us that the church did experience peace. Okay? It was experiencing a period of peace. My question to you is, give your thoughts as to how the church experienced peace when you got a man like this off his rocker. Austin!
They had a common enemy for once.
Okay.
For once, the little quarrels that they had within the church were nowhere near as important as the common enemy.
Right. That's a good point. Hey, look, you know, let's not deal with the little brush fires over here. Over here is a forest fire. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Good point. Okay. Any other? I just want your thoughts. Okay. He doesn't tell us why. I think it's interesting that you have an emperor unhinged like this one. Okay. And he has some mental disorder and the church can still yet flourish and experience peace. You know, and I think there could certainly be, that's valid what Austin said, is the fact that, yeah, we got to stick together. This guy's off this rocker. We got a problem. Go ahead.
I mean, on a second note, too, I mean, the church was no stranger to persecution at all. So, I mean, this may not have been as horrifying as we would think of being persecuted today. They went through this on a regular cycle.
They did. We must go through many tribulations to enter into the kingdom of God. They said that, right? Because they were very, you know, very familiar with persecution. Okay. I just was curious what your thoughts were whenever you've got an unhinged, mentally ill emperor like this, and the church is able to flourish and still yet grow. Okay. Caligula was murdered in 41 AD. And again, that's where, you know, external reading and some of the comments, like what Don was talking about his horse, you know, you can find in books like this. And that was one of the books that I had to have at Ohio Valley College. So a lot of the books that I have, you know, referred to are the books that I had in school. Go ahead.
Well, one of the modern historians mentions that Caligula was killed by the Praetorian Guard, who were supposed to be the folks who were protecting him, mm-hmm. in 41 AD, thus proving that he was indeed not God.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go on to the next section. Let's talk about Claudius here. Oh, wrong thing. Wrong book. So the section I want you to read, and it's not a lot, but let's go ahead and read this. Just read that paragraph. Who's got that on Claudius? Dan, you got it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've already had the first spell.
Emperor, the Jews were immediately released from the obligation to recognize the emperor as deity. Claudius, then...
Okay, Dan, I apologize. I think it's the second. Was that the second bell? I think it was.
Okay.
I lost track. No, man, it's my bad. I mean, you can stay here and read. I'll listen. I'll walk a chair. Everybody can walk out. And you can keep reading. We'll talk about it. Hey, thank you guys for your time and your attention. I appreciate it. Get into a flow. Put on the brakes. So.